Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus podcast. And we've been studying A City Set on a Hill. Hallelujah. It's a new study on this broadcast. A City Set on a Hill. And this is part 2. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Jesus at Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Glory to God. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then last teaching, we began to see what it means to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Glory to God. And you know, we saw how that Jesus was standing on a mountain when he was saying this. He was standing on a mountain. Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 to 2. Jesus went up on the mountain when he saw the multitude, and his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak unto them. So while he was on that mountain, he says, "You are the light of the world." Hallelujah. And then he says, "You are like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." Glory to God. So we began to see what it means to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. The idea Jesus was communicating isn't that a believer cannot be hidden. We saw that also. Jesus wasn't saying that for being a believer, you are automatically set on a hill and you cannot be hidden. That's not what he's saying. Amen. You know, that could be taken to mean that the moment a man believes the gospel, he cannot be hidden. You have no hiding place. You must shine as a light. No. Amen. As we've seen, to be hidden means to be secret or to be unknown. And in this context, it means to be void of impact. Praise God. It means to be void of impact. Believing in Christ does not automatically mean you'd influence the world with the gospel. It does not. It only means you have the capacity to do so. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Believing the gospel or believing in Christ does not automatically mean that you would influence the world or your world with the gospel of Christ. It only means you have the capacity to do so. Amen. So you don't say, now that I'm in Christ Jesus, whether I do what God expects me to do, whether I intentionally shine the light or not, as long as I'm in Christ, I'm shining, I'm making impact, I'm making progress. People are seeing the light. No. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, if we consider the entire context of this statement, you see that Jesus was teaching how not to be hidden or void of impact, because it's possible to be hidden as a light. That's exactly what Jesus was teaching in that context. He was showing us how not to be hidden, how not to be void of impact, how not to be void of making the right influence as lights in this world. Glory to God. So that is the context of this statement. Jesus was teaching how not to be hidden. If a believer cannot be hidden, if a believer cannot be secret, if a believer cannot be void of impact or influence, then these instructions are not necessary. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Glory to God. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Jesus speaking, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." So he uses the metaphors or symbols of salt and light alongside the city set on a hill. So Jesus used the metaphor of salt, light, alongside the illustration of a city set on a hill. And I showed us yesterday how that, you know, they are all saying the same thing. Amen. These are metaphors for how the believer is set on the face of the earth to influence the world for Christ. Amen. So, and you see, with both examples, that is examples of salt and light, Jesus illustrates the possibility of not having the right impact in this world as a believer. Glory to God. So he uses salt and light, and then he begins to illustrate by these examples the possibility of not having the right impact or the right influence in this world as a believer. Glory to God. He says the salt can lose its savor or its flavor. The salt can lose its savor and its flavor. It can be trampled underfoot by men. Glory to God. I showed us how that to be trampled underfoot by men means to be disdained, despised. It means to be considered worthless. You have no use. Glory to God. Do you know that when you apply salt to a particular food or anything, let's have that layman's example. The idea is that the salt is meant to season the food. That's why Jesus says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Glory to God. So salt is meant to make a difference. It's meant to sweeten the dish or the food. It's meant to make a difference. But when the salt loses its flavor or its savor, then you won't even know there's salt in the food. You will taste it and it's just the normal taste without the salt. So the believer can be in this world and is making no influence in his environment. Making no impact or having no influence in his environment. In the midst of your friends, in the midst of your family, in at your workplace, there is no impact, there is no influence, there is no difference. You are there in their midst like salt that has lost its savor or flavor. Glory to God. That's what Jesus is saying. Because when salt is applied, there must be a difference. Amen. It must be felt. Glory to God. So salt that loses its flavor or its savor can be will be trampled underfoot by men, despised, disdained, treated as a worthless thing. Amen. The light can also be hid under the basket. Jesus says that. You can hide the light under a basket, thereby preventing it from giving light to everyone in the house. So the fact that a man is a light does not mean that he's going to serve the purpose of a light. The light can be hidden. It can be covered by a bushel or a basket. And then instead of giving light to everybody in the house, it makes no difference. There's still darkness all around. Glory to God. So the light can be hid under the basket, thereby preventing it from giving light to everyone in the house. It takes being strategically positioned on the lampstand for the lamp to serve its purpose. That's what Jesus said. He says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they set it on a lampstand so it will give light to everyone in the house. So there must be a strategic positioning. Hallelujah. A strategic positioning of the lamp on the lampstand for it to serve its purpose as a lamp. So it's not enough to be the light. You must also position yourself to give light. Hallelujah. So while the believer is light in the Lord, he has to shine before men. Glory to God. There's no such thing as I'm a light, I'm shining. Praise God. No. You must deliberately and intentionally shine as the light. Hence, Jesus gives the instruction, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. And then we saw yesterday that the word so means in this manner, in this particular way. In what manner? What he said before that, he says, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You set it on a lampstand. So in this same manner, let you as a light, let your light shine before men. That is, be positioned in such a way that you give light to men. Hallelujah. And how is that done? How do I shine as a light? By doing good works, Jesus says. Amen. By doing good works. Now, what kind of good works? The context will also help us. Because you can't just be assuming it's all about any kind of good work. Glory to God. You know, recently, I used one of these taxis in Lagos, Uber specifically. And by the time he dropped me at my location, I gave him extra money. I paid him more than double of what he billed me. And the reason for that was because, you know, there's curfew in Lagos. You have to get in before 10. And then it was already past 9. I was coming all the way from a particular location, far away from my place. And of course, we're going to get to my place before 10. But most of those drivers would be very, they'll be very skeptical about dropping you off at that time and then getting to their own destination before 10. So many of them would decline the ride. So I had to negotiate. I said, okay, what if I pay you more than your normal stuff? Then he said, wow, hey, see what money will cost. So I know that, okay, where are you? So that was it. I mean, the power of bargaining. Praise God. The power of bargaining. So he came around, he picked me. So I gave him more than the fee or more than the fare. And you know what? As I got off that car, it came to me strongly that this guy, some way, somehow, might assume I'm one of those Yahoo guys. Yeah, because, I mean, I gave him, the money was 1,900 naira, and I gave him 5,000 naira. It's just my own way of being generous to him. Praise God. So, but then, as I got off the vehicle, it just occurred to me that, you see, this guy can just pass me off as a Yahoo boy. Because most times, they are the ones that, you know, just spend money anyhow because they didn't get the money by working or toiling hard. You get that kind of stuff. So, a lot of thoughts were coming to my mind. Now, I share that experience to say this. If I was trying to show my Christianity by being generous to him, by giving him money, the truth of the matter is, there's no way he could have imagined or assumed. Let me not even use the word imagine or assume. There's no way he would have been able to say for sure that, see, the reason why this guy gave me this kind of money is because he's a Christian. Hallelujah. Why? Because just anybody can be as generous, anybody can be as nice to him as I was. A prostitute can be. Amen. The wrong girl just had a great time. And then somebody dashed her a lot of money, more than what she usually gets. And then she just also decides to be generous to the driver. Anybody, a Yahoo boy, a foreigner, anybody, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a ritualist, anybody at all could have done the exact thing I did. Glory to God. And that's why we can't just say, good works, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. You must look at what Jesus says, your good works would evoke in men. Hallelujah. What is it going to evoke or invoke? It's going to invoke praises to God. They are going to glorify your Father. That means those good works must testify to the Father. So it can't be just any kind of common, random good work out there. We have to look in context to find out where these good works begin. Hallelujah. Now, I haven't said giving generously or doing charitable works or any other thing at all. I haven't said those things are not good works. What I'm saying is that what defines the good works Jesus is talking about in this particular place is the context. Hallelujah. And for the believer, you must realize that the world is full of all kinds of people, unbelievers, believers, atheists, Buddhists, all kinds of people. Amen. Together with Christians. And, you know, a lot of those things we consider to be good works, kindness, acts of, you know, generosity, charity and all that, are not exclusive to us as believers. Anybody can be generous. Amen. Anybody can be good. Anybody can be kind. Anybody can be nice to you. So that is not an exclusive testimony to the Father being at work in us. Glory to God. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So we don't just assume, oh, good works, and then we start running ahead and want to start doing all kinds of good works, and then we assume we're already shining as the light. No. The good works must be seen in the context. Matthew chapter 5 now. I'll read from verse 11. Because this was what Jesus was saying before he got to verse 13 down to verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, And I'll read from verse 11. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hallelujah. Did you see? Did you see that? So this was what he was saying before he got to verse 13 down to verse 16. So he spoke of being reviled and persecuted for his sake. Hallelujah. For his sake. Not for any other thing, but for his sake. You and I know that persecution comes only to men who preach the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Persecution comes only to men who preach the gospel, who preach the word of God. Hallelujah. So this is not about being hated because you occupy an enviable position at your workplace. This is certainly not about being hated because you bought a new car or passed the craziest professional exam out there in the world. Oh, this guy just passed the craziest exam out there in the world. And then people are envying you, and then we say, you are suffering for Christ. You are being persecuted for Christ. No. Hallelujah. Unbelievers experience all that too. Unbelievers envy fellow unbelievers for all those earthly things. Do you get all those earthly exploits? So this is about being hated for the sake of Christ and his gospel. And then he likens that to how the prophets were also persecuted. So for the same reasons why the prophets were persecuted, we also are going to be persecuted and reviled. And what was that reason? Preaching the gospel. Preaching the word of God. Bearing witness to Jesus. Hallelujah. So the question is, for what exactly were the prophets persecuted? I said it already. For preaching the gospel. So this is where shining as lights begin. Amen. This is where shining as the light begins. You can't assume you are shining as the light for Jesus just by doing every kind of good work outside the context of preaching the gospel and testifying to men about Jesus. Hallelujah. The only time people are going to associate you with Christ is when you stand for the truth of the gospel. Amen. Don't assume that people will consider you to be a Christian and be sure about it just because you're a good fellow in the environment. You don't argue. You don't fight. You go your own way. You don't. No! There are lots of people who have such qualities and characters also. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. The man by the name Cornelius, he was not born again. But look at the conduct. Look at the description that the Bible gives to him. Look at the description. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. I mean, you could have looked at a man like that today and say, man, this guy is a Christian. In fact, some folks will not just consider him to be a Christian. They'll consider him to be a pastor. Hallelujah. Oh, this guy is a pastor. He must be a pastor. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. Look at this carefully. Acts of Apostles 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Imagine such qualifications. Imagine such descriptions. One who feared God, a devout man. He gave alms generously. Hallelujah. And then prayed to God always. But this guy was not born again. This guy was not born again until Acts 10:44. Hallelujah. Acts 10:43, 44, 45. To him all the prophets give witness that through his name he who believes will receive the remission of sins. And while Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the word. This guy was not born again until he heard Peter preach the gospel of Christ. But look at the character. Such enviable character. Even some believers today don't have this. Amen. Because they are immature in the faith. So you don't buy those conducts in themselves, those conducts alone, say a man is a Christian, he must be a Christian. That is not how to shine the light of Christ. It is not exclusive to you. Amen. Such conducts and characters are not exclusive to you as a believer in Christ. So shining the light of Christ must be well defined from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So I said, how exactly were the prophets persecuted for preaching the gospel? So this is where shining as the light begins. Glory to God. You can't claim to be shining as light for Christ's sake and not be preaching the gospel. It's impossible. So Jesus likens the hardships we would face with that of the prophets. Now, elsewhere, it describes John the Baptist, a prophet, as a burning and shining light. Glory to God. Follow this carefully. So Jesus says, we should shine as light. Men will behold our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And then I'm showing you that the context shows that we are going to be reviled and persecuted for his sake, just like the prophets. And then Jesus likens a prophet, John the Baptist, to a burning and shining lamp or shining light. John chapter 5, verse 33 to 35. Let's learn something very important from the life of John the Baptist, the life and ministry of John the Baptist. John 5, 33 to 35, you have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Hallelujah. You were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. He says John the Baptist was a shining and a burning lamp. Praise God. So John was described as a burning and shining lamp. And he says they were willing to rejoice in his light for a time. The question is this: how did John burn and shine as a lamp? Glory to God. In what way was John burning and shining as a lamp in the midst of men? What was the light they rejoiced in the ministry of John? Glory to God. Don't forget, Jesus says, you have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. He has borne witness to the truth. So how did John shine as the light? How did he burn and shine as a lamp in the midst of men? What light did they rejoice in his ministry? He bore witness to the truth. Hallelujah. Now look at John chapter 1, verse 69 also. You find a corroboration? So the way John the Baptist burned and shined as a lamp was by bearing witness to the truth. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So John is called a burning and a shining lamp. Men rejoiced in his light. And at John chapter 1 verse 6 to 9, Bible tells us that John was not the light. He was sent to bear witness to the light. Hallelujah. There was a man sent from God. His name is John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. So how did John shine and burn as a lamp? By bearing witness to the light of Christ. Praise God. John the Baptist was a burning and shining lamp only in the sense and in the context of his bearing witness to the light of Christ, to Jesus himself. Amen. His preaching ministry was how he shined as a lamp before men. His preaching, the content of his message, the things he said concerning Jesus, how that he pointed to the light. That was how John the Baptist was shining as a lamp in the midst of men. Glory to God. And you know, so that was the light they rejoiced in. The light they rejoiced in the ministry of John the Baptist was his testimony about Jesus. This was same thing all the prophets testified about. Luke 24, 27, Jesus walked them beginning at Moses. He expounded to them in all the scriptures and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Acts 10, 43. I quoted this earlier. Bible says, to him all the prophets give witness that through his name, whoever believes will receive the remission of sins. They gave witness to Christ. Hallelujah. That is how to shine as a light in this world. That was how John the Baptist was shining and burning as a lamp by bearing witness to the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Every believer also has been sent to be a witness to Christ. Every believer has been sent to be a witness to Christ. And this is the context of Jesus' discourse. This is the context of Jesus' statement about us being the light and how we should shine the light so that men will see our good works and glorify the Father. This was the context. Amen. Hallelujah. So the good works are works done in his name. Done for his sake. Praise God. And I'm saying that it begins with the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. It begins by us bearing, or with us bearing witness to the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, Bible says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Hallelujah. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. How do we shine as lights? Holding fast the word of life. So the good works, which they will see and glorify the Father, which men will see and glorify the Father, are done in the name of Christ. They are done for his sake. We shine as lights when we bear witness to the light of Christ. The world is in darkness. Hallelujah. The world is in darkness. So you must never assume that what will bring the world out of the darkness they are in are all these random charitable works or any kind of good work at all, earthly, secular, human exploits. No! That's not what is going to bring them out of darkness. Glory to God. What will draw men to the Father cannot be all those things. Amen. The world is in darkness and they need the light of Christ. Glory to God. That is what will bring men out of darkness. That is what will draw men's attention to the Father and what he has done. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. Jesus is referred to as the light. He got into a region, and Bible says, you know, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. Those who dwelt in great darkness have seen a great light. Matthew 4, 16. Hallelujah. His presence in that place was light dawning upon them. So when we say we are the light of this world, Jesus says we are the light of this world. We must not forget that our mission as the light is to bear witness to the light. Hallelujah. Just as John the Baptist was called a shining and burning lamp, and then he shined as a light by pointing to the light. Glory to God. Pointing to the light. Hallelujah. Matthew 4, 16. Glory to God. Bible says, the people, okay, let me start from verse 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Hallelujah. Light has dawned. Of course, Jesus went through those regions preaching the gospel. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, for preaching the gospel in that region, the Bible says the light has dawned upon them. Hallelujah. That's how to shine the light in this world. Nobody is shining as a light with his mouth closed. Amen. No believer is shining as the light of God with his mouth closed. Your mouth shut up. And you are not testifying to the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. The way to shine as a light in this world is by preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. It's by revealing what Christ has done. It's by pointing men to the person of Christ. That's how to shine as a light. Amen. Luke 1:79. Look at this also. The world is in darkness. The mission of Jesus is to draw men out of darkness. So the good works are not just works that men will just admire and say, wow, great, great guy. No, those good works must draw their attention to the Father, to the end that they are also brought out of darkness and are transformed into light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The good works are not for show off. Hallelujah. It is to draw men away from darkness to light. Luke chapter 1. Now read verse 79. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1, verse 79. Verse 79. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. Luke 1, 79. Praise God. Bible says, okay, let me start from, I knew I was going to read this in context. Let me start from verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, to give light to those who sit in darkness. This is by the gospel. John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He will follows me will not abide in darkness. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Glory to God. So you don't shine as light until you bear witness to the light. Hallelujah. Until you bear witness to the light that is Christ. Amen. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in the light that we are shining, men receive life. Hallelujah. At John chapter 1, look at how John says it. John chapter 1, men find life in that light. So, we are not just shining any kind of light. No, it is the kind of light that is able to bring men out of darkness, bring them out of death. Praise God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. How did we become the light of God? How did we become light in Christ? Because we received his life. Hallelujah. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the way we shine as light in the world also is to bear witness to the very thing that made us lights. The very thing that brought us out of darkness and brought us into the light. We testify of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how to shine as a light. Amen. That's how to shine as a light. Jesus is the light, and we are bearing witness to him. That is our own way of shining. Glory to God. At Acts 26, verse 18, look at what Jesus told Paul at the inception of his ministry. Acts 26, verse 18. Hallelujah. Acts 26 and verse 18. It says to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. So you see, to draw men out of darkness, that's the goal. So as we do these good works, they must be drawn from darkness into light. Amen. Our light must shine in such a way that men are drawn out of darkness into the light of God. Men will glorify God. It will draw their attention to the Father. Glory to God. Of course, the word glorify means to praise him, to extol him. But then you discover that those in the preaching of the gospel, men do not just sing God's praises or extol him. They are also drawn to believe in the message. And I'll show you an example very soon. They are drawn to believe in the message. Praise God. Look at Acts of Apostles 13, and I'll read verse 48. Acts of Apostles 13, 48. Glory to God. So when men glorify the Father, they are also drawn to believe. Acts 13, 38. I'll read. Bible says, therefore, let it be known. No, sorry. Acts 13, 48. I was reading Acts 13, 38. Acts 13, 48. Glory to God. Let me read from verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grumbled and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. Watch. He says, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen. So you see how he connects receiving everlasting life as being set as a light to the Gentiles. So they were taking the gospel to the Gentiles, the gospel by which they were going to receive everlasting life. And, you know, reaching them with the gospel is what Paul refers to as being set to them as a light. Hallelujah. Of course, this particular portion of scripture was written concerning Jesus. So Paul is quoting that text to say the gospel is also available to Gentiles. Jesus is not just for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I've set you as a light to the Gentiles. And where were they taken to the Gentiles? What were they taken to them? The preaching of the gospel. That is the light of God to them. Amen. Now look at verse 48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They were glad and glorified the word. So you see them glorifying God when they heard what they said. Amen. Now look at the next line. It says, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. So you see that they glorified the Lord, they glorified the word of the Lord, they embraced the gospel, they believed the gospel. They were not just praising and extolling God, no, it led them to have faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. So this is important. So the light we are shining is such that men are drawn out of darkness and they are brought into the light of God. It is so that men will glorify God. Glory to God. We don't preach ourselves. The good works are not things that point men's attention to us. No, they point men's attention to God, to the Father, and to Christ. We are bearing witness to Jesus. So we are preaching Him. That's how to shine the light. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 to 6. Very key portion of scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 6. Paul speaking. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. So he refers to the gospel as the light of God. Amen. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. It is to shine on men. Hallelujah. It says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind has been blinded, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine on them. Who are those shining that light? The preachers. Hallelujah. The preachers are the ones shining the light of the gospel upon men. That's how to shine as the light. Amen. That's how to shine as the light. Now look at what it says next. It says, for we do not preach ourselves, verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. We are not preaching ourselves. Jesus is the content of our message. That's how we are shining the light. It's by bearing witness to Christ. We are not preaching ourselves, not our achievements, not our own kind of self-styled good works. No, we are not pointing attention to ourselves. It's about Christ Jesus. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God has shone in our hearts by the gospel. God has shone in our hearts. God has shined light upon our own hearts. And he has sent us to shine the light of Christ upon others. Glory to God. That's how to do good works in Christ Jesus. So we do not preach ourselves. We preach him. As light, we point men to the light that saved us from darkness. The good works that would make men glorify the Father are works done in the gospel, not just any kind of works. Did you get that? The good works that will make men glorify God and glorify the Father and extol him are works done in the gospel, not just any kind of works. Glory to God. In fact, the word glorified, as used at Matthew 5:16, is the Greek word doxazo. Praise God. Doxazo. And, you know, doxa is glory. So this is glorified or glorify, which also means to praise and to extol. In this context, they would glorify the Father. They would praise him and magnify him. And all. So when we look at closely, this particular word, when we look closely at the ministry of Jesus to see how it was used, we look at the ministry of Jesus emphatically, and then we see an example in the book of Acts, the ministry of the Acts, in the ministry of the apostles too. We see that the kind of things that men saw that made them glorify the Father are not just any kind of, you know, good work. No. They were not random things. They were not things anybody was, you know, doing all around. No. They are not things you can find just with anybody. They're exclusive to Christ and his ministry, his gospel. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 8. Glory to God. I mean, even if you saw those kind of things with the prophets, it was because they were testifying to the person of Christ. It was because they were preaching the gospel according to, you know, what was spoken through them by the Spirit of God. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8. Glory to God. Matthew 9, verse 8. Look at the things they saw that made them glorify God. That made them realize, man, God must be at work in this man. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8. Glory to God. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Hallelujah. Such power to men. Now what happened? A man that was paralyzed was brought into the environment that Jesus was in, and then Jesus got him healed. Glory to God. Now you know that Jesus was not just going about trying to work miracles. He went about preaching. So he was known as a preacher or as a teacher. And then they also knew that whenever Jesus was teaching, things were happening. Men were getting healed. Men were getting healed. People were recovering from illnesses and sicknesses. So they had known him to be somebody that carried the power of God. So they came to receive healing. And when men saw that healing, the Bible says they glorified God. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 and verse 31. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 31. See this also. Praise God. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Hallelujah. They glorified the God of Israel. Of course, again, this was done because Jesus was given to preaching and teaching the gospel. And then so these signs were the things they saw that made them glorify God. Are these good works? Yes. Hallelujah. These are good works. You know, Jesus looked at the multitude at a point in time and he says, even if you don't believe for any other reason, believe for the work's sake. The works that I do testify of me. Hallelujah. These are good works. These are good works. Getting the blind to see, the maimed to walk. Do you get what we're saying? The blind to see, the maimed to walk, the deaf hearing, the blind seeing, the mute speaking. These are good works. Hallelujah. And these were the works that made them glorify the Father in the ministry of Christ. Praise God. We're going to see one more portion of scripture today, and it will continue from here in the next teaching. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse 15. So, men glorified God as they saw the things that were being done by the gospel, that were being done in the gospel. Hallelujah. More importantly, they glorified God for the word itself, for the gospel itself that they heard, that they received. We saw that at Acts 13, 48. They glorified the word of the Lord. Praise God. Luke 4, 15, Bible says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Hallelujah. So the good works by which men will glorify the Father are not just any kind of good works. Amen. There are things done by the gospel. There are things done in the gospel. There are things men see in the gospel of Christ. So as we proclaim the gospel, men glorify the Father. As men receive the gospel, they glorify the Father. Hallelujah. As men receive healing, as we preach the gospel also, they glorify the Father. Glory to God. So what makes men glorify the Father are things that have to do with the gospel of Christ. That's how to shine the light of Christ in this world. Glory to God. We're going to continue from here in the next teaching. Don't forget to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, spiritual songs. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.